Donald Trump is ending the Iran war with some fantastic concessions from Iran. We'll break down everything going on right now, along with the assassination attempt that just happened at the White House a few days ago, and the media are trying to cover it up. Also, stick around to the end because Hassan Piker is going to jail, and that is really good news. So a lot has happened over the weekend with Iran, and before we get into it, I want to show you a video of what Charlie Kirk predicted would happen in Iran. This is an interview he did 1 year ago about what he said Trump would do, and he's spot on.
So President Trump has been morally clear for a decade, Iran should not have a nuclear weapon. And President Trump has the talent, the expertise to be able to thread that needle. The generation that I represent, Jesse, the under 30 crowd, they absolutely are very war weary. Many of them voted for President Trump on college campuses because they did not want to see a Joe Biden or George Bush philosophy where we get into this endless conflict where we're sending hundreds of billions of dollars. I think President Trump will be able to balance those two things while defending our allies, saying that Iran will not have a nuclear weapon without having to deploy a single American troop or even having America involved from the sky. President Trump can get that deal done.
So I play that clip because it has been very popular recently for anti-American political commentators to use Charlie Kirk's name and legacy to say that Trump is betraying MAGA, and that is not true. The reality is Trump is doing everything Charlie predicted he would do. You can watch that video and think, oh, yeah, this looks exactly like the Iran war for the last 3 months. Right now it is swiftly leading to the end of the war. Here is an update. This is a tweet from Donald Trump. He said, I'm in the Oval Office at the White House where we had a very good call with, and he lists all the leaders in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Prime Minister of Qatar, Pakistan, Egypt, Turkey, Jordan, all of those. And he says, and all the things related to the memorandum of understanding pertaining to peace, an agreement has been largely negotiated, subject to finalization between the United States of America, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and the various other countries as listed. Separately, I had a call with Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu of Israel, which likewise went very well. Final aspects and details of the deal are currently being discussed and will be announced shortly, in addition to many other elements of the agreement, and the Strait of Hormuz will be opened. So, Trump also tweeted that he would not be accepting any deal with Iran that did not include them handing over all of their enriched uranium. And it is very clear that this negotiation, first off, that's a really good thing. Obviously, the nuclear deal is the biggest part for Donald Trump. I think it should be. But it's also clear that this negotiation is working in Trump's favor because the IRGC has now opened international internet like Starlink to Iran. So their citizens can now see everything going on in the world. That was not a thing before. These negotiations were going so well, in fact, over the weekend that Donald Trump missed Don Jr.'s wedding. He came out with it, said, I'm sorry, I can't go. I've got some important things happening. And all of our ears perked up because we saw that and we thought, seems like the negotiations are going well. Marco Rubio was asked about it. And like a very good negotiator, he took a very firm stance against Iran.
I think our position is well stated. The president had a very important, I think, historic call just a couple days ago with a number of leaders from the region. I think there's strong alignment and agreement on what a preliminary draft should look like. I think that, like anything with something like this, it's going to take a couple days to settle on, even down to the disagreements over a word, sentence. So we'll have to work through that. If there's going to be a deal, we're going to have to work through that. But this is, it's either going to be a good deal or there isn't going to be one.
So the details are not fully fleshed out yet. We will report on it when it comes out, but it looks good. We're looking at an off-ramp. And I think one of the very good signs is that every single leader in the region was on the call. So you don't have Trump and Iran and Israel getting together and then people in Qatar and Jordan, though I don't think we should care as much what they think, but, you know, them being outraged and having economic sanctions placed on the U.S., for example. In this way, we can just expand the Abraham Accords, and hopefully, in addition to the nuclear weapons being off, we can also have no tolls to the Strait of Hormuz, which is going to be fantastic for oil and, frankly, all of the goods that we get to America, now, as well as Europe and our other allies. Now, since that call, there have been a few wrinkles. It's gotten a little more complicated. This is according to Fox News. They say the U.S. military carried out self-defense strikes in southern Iran on Monday, targeting missile launch sites and Iranian boats, according to the U.S. Central Command. I actually have a video of what that looks like. Here it is. Captain Tim Hawkins in the military was asked about this. He said targets included missile launch sites, Iranian boats attempting to emplace mines. U.S. Central Command continues to defend our forces while using restraint during the ongoing ceasefire. So technically there's a ceasefire in place. It's now been extended, but they saw these boats putting down mines. And so they're like, you can't do that. We're going to go in and take those out. Some Iranian officials have come out and said that that breaks the ceasefire. Other Iranian officials have come out and said, no, that's fine. We, you know, those people were doing something that we did not sanction. And so what's hard right now is the U.S. demolished the Iranian leadership so bad that they're just not unified anymore. And so Trump might be negotiating with somebody, but then another person comes onto the scene who has different demands. And that is very, very complicated and shows how disoriented the IRGC is right now. One of the most frustrating parts of cleaning up the war is that domestic politicians are also trying to curb Trump's power. You've got international people who are making it difficult for Donald Trump, and now you have domestic ones as well, which is very frustrating. Marco Rubio was testifying on Capitol Hill to Rand Paul, and Rand Paul told Rubio he had to stop any military action in Iran.
By bombing a capital, blockading a country, and removing elected officials, and we certainly wouldn't tolerate it, nor would I if someone did it to us.
But we didn't remove an elected official. We removed someone who was not elected, and it was actually an indicted drug trafficker in the United States, and their system.
Our laws, indicted under our laws. Look, Bolsonaro says that Da Silva is not really the president of Brazil. Our president said Biden wasn't really the president. Hillary Clinton said in 2016 Trump wasn't the president. So you have these arguments, and I agree with you. It probably was, and most likely was, most assuredly was a bad election. He wasn't really elected. But at the same time, if that's our predicate and you don't have to come to us because it's a drug bust, we're just removing somebody, you can see where it leads to. And it leads to chaos. And that's why we have rules like the Constitution, so we don't get so far out there that presidents can do whatever they want. It is this check and balance. And I would argue for 70 years we've been going the wrong way. It isn't just this president, but it's a debate that I think is worth having.
Marco Rubio is very smart. He doesn't argue with Rand Paul. He's not there for the clicks. He just wants to unify the GOP. And that's very good for Marco, but I'm not trying to unify the GOP in the same way. I'm trying to call out people who are saying stupid things, and I just have to say Rand Paul is dead wrong. Maduro, not an elected politician, and he committed crimes on U.S. soil. We can 100% bring him in and jail him, and the U.S. has due process to carry that out. It isn't Trump just doing it. He didn't just decide one day, I want to take Maduro in. It was a court order, and on the point of Iran, the Constitution... also a moot point. Rand Paul tries to invoke the Constitution a lot because obviously conservatives care about the Constitution, but this is not a constitutional issue. Congress themselves authorized Trump to do this already because it's a Republican-held Congress. And even if they did not approve Trump to do it, he has 180 days to take any military action without congressional approval. And we are not even close to being 180 days up. We're, you know, about 100 days in. And I don't even think this conflict is going to last another 80 days. I think it's going to be wrapped up in the next month or two. And so he's going to be well within that timetable. But Trump is completely in line with the Constitution. And on a broader point, if our president, if you just think about it logically for a second, if our president can't authorize troops to take out terrorists who have murdered civilians and servicemen and are trying to obtain a nuke, what can he do? Like, what's the point of being the commander-in-chief if he can't even defend our country? Do we really think that Congress can be reliable enough to vote to take out the Ayatollah regime? Obviously, they cannot. Half the Democrats love the Ayatollah, by the way. I'm not saying Rand Paul does. I know he doesn't. But I don't think that we have to curb the president's power so much that he actually can't do his job as commander-in-chief. This is, again, why libertarians should not be anywhere near foreign policy. It is summertime. It is time to get lean, guys. And I have an amazing treat that is going to help you. Pancake Now. I've got my empty wrappers here because I ate all of them. They've got cookies and cream. These are pancake sandwiches, by the way. Only 260 calories right here. I've got cinnamon bun. They have chocolate peanut butter. They've got their original maple. All of them really, really good. You can eat them hot. You can eat them cold. You can give them to your kids. You can eat them yourself. They are fantastic. Right now, if you use my code CAR15, you get 15% off any order with them. They use no high fructose corn syrup. They use monk fruit only and maple syrup. They use clean label ingredients only, no synthetic preservatives. All ingredients are allowed in Whole Foods. They are so dang good. Again, go check them out right now at pancakenow.com. Use my code CAR15 for 15% off. Again, that's at pancakenow.com. We just had not the first, but the second assassination attempt on President Trump in the last 6 weeks in DC. And the mainstream media, on one hand, is trying to cover it up completely. They're not even talking about it. And on the other hand, you have the alternative media, like Candace Owens, egging it on. And before I show you what happened at the White House, I'll break it all down and show you the footage. Here is a clip that I showed last week on the show of Candace Owens and Hunter Biden saying that all those assassination attempts on President Trump should not be taken seriously.
I mean, whether it's Butler or Charlie or these things, that it's just not right. And I mean, it's so glaringly not right. It's almost as if they're just saying,
F you. They're not even trying.
Care.
We don't even get good psyops anymore. And that's what I keep saying. I'm like, so disrespectful that we're not even getting good psyops anymore. Like we're supposed to believe he survived four assassination attempts, the first president that's ever survived four assassination attempts.
Yeah.
They lie to us about things, they make a big deal, and then they make it it's going to go away. They're going to keep pretending and telling us that this is a totally normal grieving widow, okay? No one's buying that. Like, that something's just not right here. Everyone can see that.
Rhetoric is so callous and only makes it easier for assassins to do their work. And ironically, as the Iran conflict comes to a head, we have more peace right now between Donald Trump and Iran than he does with Democrats. It is easier to broker a ceasefire between Trump and Iran than Democrats. Think about that for a second. More people right now have died in America than Iran if those assassins had gotten their way. We've had 13 U.S. servicemen die in Iran. We would have had dozens of dead U.S. officials if the past four assassination attempts on Trump had been succeeded in Butler, Mar-a-Lago, the White House. We've had four of them now. So I'm not being hyperbolic when I say these people are literally more dangerous than Iranians at this point. They are that evil. They are that violent. So here's what happened. According to PBS, they reported a man opened fire Saturday near a White House security checkpoint, and he is dead after being shot by officers who returned fire. The U.S. Secret Service said it was the third incident of gunfire in the vicinity of President Trump in the past month. The law enforcement agency said in a statement posted on X that the man was in the area of 17th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue when he, quote, pulled a weapon from his bag shortly after 6 p.m. and began firing. Secret Service officers returned fire and hit the suspect, who died at a hospital, the agency said. The suspect was identified as 21-year-old Nasir Best, said a law enforcement official who spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to discuss the investigation. According to District of Columbia court records, Best was arrested in July 2025 after he attempted to enter a different White House checkpoint without authorization. Didn't heed officers' commands to stop, quote, claimed he was Jesus Christ, and said he wanted to be arrested. We actually have footage from journalists of what went down. Here it is.
But his grip on Republican support on Capitol Hill is weakening.
So insane. And PBS is even reporting, again, three different incidents in the last month for President Trump. Trump tweeted this out. He said, thank you to our great Secret Service and law enforcement for the swift and professional action taken this evening against a gunman near the White House who had a violent history and possible obsession with our country's most cherished structure. The gunman is dead after an exchange of gunfire with Secret Service agents near the White House gates. This event is 1 month removed from the White House Correspondents' Dinner shooting and goes to show how important it is for all future presidents to get what will be the most safe and secure space of its kind ever built in Washington, D.C. He's talking, of course, about the White House and the ballroom that he wants set up. I completely agree with that, by the way. We should not be sending our president, who is under all of these threats, around to different events when he could just host them in a secure location in the White House. Fox News reported right before this, by the way, that Ivanka Trump was targeted by a Turkey national in a separate event. So that's five assassination events now. Suffice it to say, the left is violent. Very violent. You did not see this under Biden. And I'm sorry, this is just not a two-sided issue. This is a one-sided issue. The left has become so violent. What I love about President Trump, by the way, is he's actually fighting back. And that leads us to Hassan Piker. He is very popular, maybe the most popular violent leftist in our country. If you don't know who he is, he's an actual anti-American communist streamer. Fox News reports the following about him. Federal officials have served subpoenas to Marxist political influencer Hassan Piker and Code Pink co-founder Susan Media Benjamin as part of a wider investigation into whether U.S. organizations and leaders violated U.S. laws and sanctions in supporting Cuba's communist regime. Piker and Benjamin are among those caught in a federal inquiry into whether activists who traveled to Cuba in March violated U.S. sanction laws through the financing, coordination, or delivery of goods to Cuba, including potential contacts with Cuban government personnel or entities on the island. The investigation is part of a broader effort by officials to curb malign foreign influence operations inside the United States, particularly activities tied to support for political violence, extremist movements, or acts the U.S. government classifies as terrorism. So Hassan Piker's freaking out about it because we now know that he was working with communists in Cuba. I don't know what they talked about, but Hassan Piker has been very open about wanting violence on conservatives and President Trump specifically. Here Hassan is from a clip from his stream freaking out about it.
Free me. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I'm about to be seemingly made an example of.
This is what we're talking about when we say that there are foreign countries that pay influencers. It's not happening to everyone. You can't look at every single person you disagree with and say, oh, you're being paid. But there are some actual instances where people and streamers are going to communist or Muslim nations and come back with more radical talking points. And they are anti-American. Hassan believes the U.S. deserves 9/11. He said that over and over again. He believes in Marxism. And when I say Marxism, he doesn't just believe in redistribution. He believes in a violent revolution in order to achieve that redistribution. He is a bad dude. I hope they catch who is financing him, and I hope they send Hassan to jail before he incites more people to violence. As America approaches 250 years, this is a moment to pray for the freedoms that shaped our country, and I'm partnering with Allegiance Defending Freedom to sign up for 5 days of prayer and join all Americans to pray for this nation's future. All you guys have to do to sign up is have an email, and you can join me in 5 days of prayer for our country. I put a link to join at the top of the description below.